The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. It's National Hot and Spicy Food Day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and in honor of that, you're looking at a sizzling snack. Now, I'm going to take a 20 on this.
Take a 20.
I have no idea what that means.
I was just going to ask you,
can you explain
tell me
that
what
line?
It meant.
I'm told by people who are in the 30 and under crowd that everybody's saying this.
How far?
Everybody's
under?
Talking
like,
about
well, if
snacks.
I ask my 12-year-old, would he know what that means?
Well,
I think he'd reach
maybe,
for goldfish
possible.
If he heard snacks at that age.
Yeah, I think this show is being moved into an area that we are not welcome in. We're just not. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rockets roll. Lane Kiffin is eyeing Big Ten players, and your boy Joel Embiid faces another big test. But we begin today with the Los Angeles Lakers losing their opening game to Portland last night, 100-93. Like the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, this was a number one seed losing to a number eight. The Lakers were pitiful from the three-point line. They were 5 of 32. So, Wilbon, will you chalk up this loss to terrible shooting, or do you think there is something larger here that is wrong with the Lakers?
Well, I don't think it has to be wrong with the Lakers, although the Lakers are not playing great. They haven't played great basketball since they got into that bubble. I've told you time and again, I hear people saying, we hear other people talk about it on this network, whether it's Stephen A. or whomever's talking about it. And it's sort of like, well, the Lakers and LeBron, they seem to be in a little bit of a funk. And LeBron has sort of talked about this. He's been very open about his feelings about play and how to get that team and himself to where they are. He's just said last week, I'm not in, you know, playoff form. I'm not there. I got to get there. So you knew all this going in, and you knew Portland is damn good and better than your average number eight seed, Tony. And
yeah,
Portland
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
Here's the scary thing for the Lakers. Here's why this is a potentially a big problem, big issue. Portland didn't have one of those lights out shooting nights. Dame didn't go for 50. I mean, he and McCollum played really well. They had four guys. Carmelo hit a timely shot. Nurkic was great early. They played like a team. Well, they got different contributions and important ones from different people at various times, and the Lakers were 2.5 men. I mean, Kyle Kuzma comes in, and he has some good minutes. It's not good enough. And I look at this and go, do the Lakers have enough? After one game, yes, I'm asking it. I'm not weighing in yet.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to ask you to weigh in because you did say yesterday or the day before whenever we had this discussion, you did say that you thought Portland was a good opponent and it could be a tough series, but you thought the Lakers would win. Are you backing off that now?
Not yet because, look, they got to win four games, right?
Right.
They got an all-time game from LeBron last night, Tony, an all-time game in terms of a triple-double where LeBron did everything except score a lot of points. Is this going to make LeBron sort of reconsider what he needs to do with this team? Do he and Anthony Davis have to combine for 65 points or more? I'm not ready to say Portland's going to win a series, not like our dear friend Charles Barkley, who says Portland's going to win, and he brought a broom out last night. And said it's going to be a sweep. I'm not there. I still think I would take the Lakers. What about you?
Okay, so I didn't watch the whole game because it's too late for me, but I did see Barkley in the pregame say, if they win tonight, Portland, they're going to win four in a row. Look, there are some statistics here. I'm going to still bet on LeBron. You never lose money on LeBron in the first series.
Agreed.
He's 13-0 in first-round series with three different teams. But in the bubble, the Lakers are now 3-6. Now, I would tell you they won their most important game. They beat the Clippers. But these facts are also true. They're last in three-point shooting. They're second to last in scoring. They're third to last in field goal percentage. And Anthony Davis stunk last night. He was 8 for 24 and 0 for 5 from 3. So that does bespeak to me a larger problem here that I think LeBron is going to have to correct in the way that LeBron gets
corrects
everybody to be better.
He adjusts. He's a coach, too. He is. But, man, interesting series, Tony. You got to stay up late. I will call you and wake your butt up. and say, no, you're not going to pillow time. You're going to watch the third quarter. Yeah. Stay awake.
Yeah, I'll leave the country rather than take your call.
No Russell Westbrook, no problem for the Houston Rockets in game one. James Harden scored 37. Jeff Green had 22, and the Rockets easily beat a Thunder team that some have picked to upset Houston. The Rockets hit 20 of their 52 threes, nearly 40%. Tone, are the Rockets better than I think they are?
Well, you think they stink, so they're probably better than you think they are. Yeah, they're probably better than you think they are, but I don't think either of these teams is particularly good. I think whoever wins this series will go out in the next series. That is my evaluation on both. But James Harden had 37 points in 34 minutes and was unguardable. And I know Westbrook didn't play, but what I'm going to say now, Westbrook doesn't factor into it, okay? Here's the critical statistic. When the Rockets shoot better than 37% from three, and Russell Westbrook takes two, so I don't want to talk about Russell Westbrook. Right. Better than 37%, they're 24-1.
Yeah.
They shot 38.5 last night. Under 37%, they're 20-27. So very simply, you live by the three, you die by the three. That's it with the Houston Rockets.
Let's talk about the die-by part. You know how all year I kept telling you, Milwaukee, I'm not there. I'm not there with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I've told you this for a year.
Yeah.
All right, I've told you this for 4 years. While I root for my man, Daryl Morey, Northwestern's own, and Mike D'Antoni, who I love. They're just so easy to root for in P.J. Tucker.
Daryl Morey's still under a bed. Hasn't come up from under a bed yet.
I like them, Tony, until they get into a big game and they go 0-26 from three. Because this is what happens. Yeah. I sat through it. I watched it. I said, why doesn't somebody try to get a layup? And they don't want to lay up because they want to shoot threes. And they miss 26 straight. And then they don't shoot 37%. And then the record, see what that, how that flip-flops when they go 0-for-something from three. And this happens every postseason. Not like once every 5 years. I'm not saying they go 0-for-26.
Right.
So my faith in them, it is so live by, die by. You're right. You're right. And so, I think that series is going to be a tight series. I'll still stay with OKC, even though it looks crazy right now. I'm staying with them.
That's fine. They were just never in the game.
Never.
They were down
never
8, and then they were down 16,
right.
And then they were down 21 at the quarters. They stunk.
No game.
They stunk. All right? Let's move on. New Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin thinks that college football players that are in conferences that won't play this fall should be immediately eligible to play at another school. Let's try to think of one. How about Ole Miss? Kiffin said, quote, I don't understand it at all. If a kid wants to play football and he's not allowed to play football at his school, why can't he go somewhere else and play, unquote? And Wilbon, I assume you agree with Lane Kiffin.
You know, I've never agreed with anything Lane Kiffin has ever said, and I'm glad to have consistency on this here program today. Lane Kiffin, of course, the notion that that kid may be a student also, since these coaches are now more than ever looking like liars, most of them, are student athlete. And the NCAA, when you go, when you interview people in a big setting, they make you say, the student athlete, can you address your question to the student? Lane Kiffin doesn't give a damn about the student part. And this is where so many of these coaches who talk about our fine boys and all this junk, all right? They want these guys to be pros, except they're not getting paid. So suppose he transfers somewhere and they don't have school. He's not a student in the way that somebody thought he'd be a student in his life this year. Lane Kiffin going to address that? What's he going to do? Ship the young man back to his previous location, or just going to sit down around and look at him and hand him some Starbursts and say, let's just sit out here on a football field till somebody lets us play? You cannot listen to Lane Kiffin when it comes to the notion of anything academic. You cannot.
Right. So I agree totally with Lane Kiffin on this point.
Sad.
Because the people we're talking about in the Power Five conferences want to play professional football. They didn't choose a school because of the chemistry program. They chose a school to play football. Is this terribly self-serving on the part of Lane Kiffin? 100%. Terribly self-serving. That doesn't mean it's not necessarily correct, and I'm going to go to something that I go to often. I agree with the Big Ten. I do. You know I agree with the Big Ten. But there may be a price to pay for the Big Ten.
There may be.
Because you could give a family a car and say, could you find Alabama? Could you find Georgia? Could you find Florida? This is the fault, and I don't say this a lot, I don't bash the NCAA, the lack of a national coherent policy.
Yeah.
The same way with the
virus.
You've been
using that phrase a lot lately.
Is the fault of the NCAA.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
And by the way, what percentage, we have to look this up, what percentage of kids on scholarship at Big Ten schools right now, and I can think of one I know at least where people do go for the chemistry lab. Sorry, Mr. Kornheiser, but what percentage of those kids in the
Very
Big Ten
few.
Do you think play professional football? 10? 5?
I would say
12?
10 to 15, but
that's...
And so the
90%, they should just be ignored.
But Mike, no, they don't go there for that. They go there to play football. Let's take a break. Coming up with Luka Doncic and the Mavs bounce back against the Clippers tonight.
And if Fernando Tatis Jr., my new favorite player, break another one of those stupid, unwritten baseball rules yesterday.
What about Notre Dame, Mike? They're shutting down in-person classes for 2 weeks. They've said no classes, no football.
Notre Dame and North Carolina, major disappointments as institutions, and their leaders
ought to
be
ashamed. The interruption is brought to you by Miralax. It works with the water in your body to unblock your system naturally.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Toss-up trivia. I've never lost while playing from my attic.
What's toss-up?
What's first?
Toss-up, more likely to win tonight's game two, the Mavericks or the Clippers?
I'm going to take the Mavericks, Ooh. Mike, but Porzingis has to play.
Yeah, okay.
His knee has to be good, and he has to play, and I'm going to tell you why. Doncic had 11 turnovers in the other game.
Yeah.
He's never had 11 before. I don't think he'll have 11 again. The Clippers got out 18-2 for the rest of the game, even with Porzingis not playing, basically, in the second half. Dallas outscored the Clippers. And I just watched what happened to the Bucks, and I watched what happened to the Lakers. And so I think Dallas will win this game.
Tone, that's very reasonable. That all makes sense, except that's not going to happen. And tonight, the Clippers are going to put one on the Mavericks. That's the way this is going down, all right? The Mavericks already won game one. Oh, wait, it was stolen. And it wasn't that the result was stolen, because we don't know what happened in that fourth quarter. But that was the Mavericks' best chance to really contend in this series. And even Doc Rivers, among other Clipper people, said, throwing him out of the game, that was just, we don't want any part of that. The Clippers will come in focused and ready, and Porzingis, even if he's playing, won't be 100%. And this is a 12-15-point beatdown or more.
Next.
Toss-up, who has the edge tonight, the Sixers or the Celtics?
I think the Celtics are a better team than the Sixers. I think that the Sixers are hurt much more by losing Ben Simmons than the Celtics are hurt by losing Gordon Hayward. Ben Simmons had the ball in his hand all the time. The Celtics have three people who can beat you. They got three. The Sixers have one person who can beat you, and he's angry, and he wants more shots. And if he doesn't get more shots, is he going to pout? I think the Celtics are a better team.
I do too, Tony, and I don't want to shortchange Gordon Hayward, who I think is a valuable member of that ensemble.
Yes.
But I think at least this round of the playoffs, the Celtics are still more than well enough equipped, okay, to beat the Sixers. And I know, look, that's a rivalry. They complain not like each other. I think Embiid, I know you'll laugh at this. We can talk about this when we come back. Embiid is going to have a great game tonight. He's going to have to, Tony.
Okay.
He's going to have to score between 35 and 42 points for the Sixers to climb back in this thing and not be weighed down in the series. But I'm with you. I think the Celtics, their struggle is going to come in the next round against Toronto when they don't have Gordon Hayward. But I think they should beat the Sixers.
That's right. They're 100% right on that. Next.
Last one. Toss up. More impressive. Manny Machado's catch or Fernando Tatis's slide?
Manny Machado is a third baseman. I don't care where he plays in a shift. He's a third baseman. He catches this ball near the right field wall. He's never been anywhere near right field, let alone the right field wall. So I think it's a great, great catch. And I don't know what he was doing there. He's a third baseman. Now, let me get to Tatis. It's an okay slide. It is. It's okay.
I thought he was tagged on the foot.
Yeah. But he apparently wasn't. The greater issue with Tatis is this, Mike. At the moment, he's leading all of Major League Baseball in home runs, RBI, stolen bases, and runs scored. And here's who's done that before. Nobody. Ever. Nobody.
The slide is no big deal, and I thought he was out. And
right.
Machado, but you say Machado's a third base. Machado's a fielder and a great one because he played shortstop most of his career. So he can play any
left side of the infield, baby.
So what?
Left
they
side.
Got all these stupid shifts now. You just run around. He did what a great fielder does. And by the way, if you tell me that that didn't have a whiff of number 24 in a Giants uniform to you,
it when was he casually, great. It was great. The way you, yes, when
oh
he reaches,
my God.
Yes, no, it's a great catch.
Yes.
It's a great
catch. It's a great catch. I love Fernando Tatis Jr. He's my favorite player because every day now he gives a middle finger to some goof in baseball who wants to talk about an unwritten rule. And he's saying, unwrite this, homie. I love him, and I hope he does this every day to embarrass. I heard Joe Torre having some rant about what you can't do and you can't hit a pitch over the middle of the plate. What? With the bases loaded because you're up seven.
Here's what I hope.
Love Tatis.
And it won't happen this year.
What?
Because of geography. I hope he does it to the Cubs. That's it. Let's take one last break. But still to come, down go the Blackhawks. Enjoy your break, boys.
Yeah, you can join it with the Capitals pretty soon because they'll be out in a minute, too. And should we be showing more love to Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat?
Jimmy Butler's your total boy. He's your boy, Jimmy
Butler. You
know
I love him. You know I love Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Patrick Chung. The longtime Patriots safety and three-time Super Bowl champion has opted out of playing this season, a course of action that a bunch of Pats veterans have taken. Chung told CBS this morning that he made his decision to prioritize the health of his family. Quote, "I am at the latter end of my career, so I wanted to play," Chung said. "But when it comes down to it, I feel money isn't that important. I have a girlfriend who's pregnant, a baby girl coming soon. My son has a little asthma. My dad is 75 years old. I just felt this was the best decision for my family to keep everyone safe," unquote. Chung called Bill Belichick to tell him of his decision. Chung, who was a second-round pick out of Oregon in 2009, said Belichick completely supported his decision. Quote, "You guys think Bill is this drill sergeant, but he's actually a very caring person. He totally understood, and that was it," unquote, Chung said, adding that it was a short phone call.
Tony, as significant as that is, the biggest opt-out of anybody in New England recently is Tuukka Rask. The Bruins goaltender opted out before game three. He played the beginning of the series. And now Jaro Halak, you know, the number two goaltender, is in there. And Rask said that being with family, that's what he cited as the reason that he was opting out. And so I understand. We knew this was going to happen with various teams and players for various reasons. And they are articulating these reasons. And to me, people should not be doubting them. I haven't heard that and hope I don't.
A not-so-happy anniversary to New York baseball fans. On this day 63 years ago, Horace Stoneham, president of the New York Giants, announced that his team had signed a lease to play home games in San Francisco the next season. Stoneham and the Giants would join Walter O'Malley and the Brooklyn Dodgers, who were moving to Los Angeles, in villainously abandoning New York City. This was great news for California and quickly great news for baseball, but it was devastating for National League fans in New York. Much romance has been written about the Dodgers and Brooklyn, far less about the Giants. The Giants' board of directors voted 8-1 to go to San Francisco. The one dissenting vote came from M. Donald Grant, who would later become chairman of the New York Mets, the expansion team that joined the National League in 1962. They were lousy then, but by 1969, when they won the World Series, they were amazing. There aren't many of us anymore who can say we went to the Polo Grounds to see the Giants, but my dad took me to see Willie Mays play there.
Tony, you know I don't ever, ever tease Brooklyn Dodgers fans or New York Giants fans about losing their teams. I got a few teams. I've never lost one to another city. I was born about the time that the Cardinals defected from Chicago. Yes, Chicago to St. Louis, but that wasn't my team. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to lose Willie Mays in the prime of his career for you. I can't imagine that. My condolences still 63 years later.
Happy trails, Chicago Blackhawks. Wilbon's interest in the hockey playoffs ended last night.
Over.
As the Chicago Blackhawks could not hold either a 2-0 or 3-2 lead and lost the game 4-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights and the series 4-1. Wilbon thought the Blackhawks could beat Vegas after defeating Edmonton in the qualifying round of the NHL playoffs. So the Blackhawks joined the Chicago Bulls as having no impact whatsoever on their sports from now on. The Bulls didn't even make the bubble in basketball. The Blackhawks got in even though they were the 12th best team in the West. Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews are a long way from the glory days of three Stanley Cups just a few years ago. In fact, in the 5 years since they won their last cup, this hokey Edmonton series in this bloated playoff field is the only series the Blackhawks have won. Toews is 32. Kane is 31. Mike, you wonder if their time has run out?
No, because 10 or 11 of those Blackhawks last night had never played in the playoffs. They have now. I don't care what they call them. I don't care what they officially go in the books as. They played in the postseason with Kane and Toews, who played well. They're going to be a threat next season. Let me just tell you and Stephen A. Smith something as you talk about who's not relevant anymore. You know who's not relevant ever? The damn New York Knicks. And I want both of you to hear that. You and Stephen A. And I'm coming for both of you. Because all the teams in Chicago are more relevant than the New York Knicks.
We've only said that for 20 years.
Huh?
Really? Where you been? Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
A video shows that the security guard at the Warriors game clearly shoved Raptors GM Masai Ujiri twice before Ujiri shoved back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a lot to do about nothing anyway, and now it seems to be wrapped up and over. Let it be done. The Raptors beat the Nets to take a 2-0 series lead. You ready to call it right now for the champs?
Called it last week. Kenta Maeda, the Twins, lost a no-hitter in the ninth. Your thoughts?
Man, Tony, I was wondering, was he a real big loss for the Dodgers? He might be, having gone now to Minnesota. Dez Bryant will work out for the Ravens this week. Are you optimistic?
Better him than Antonio Brown. The Heat beat the Pacers in game one. Was that significant?
Oh, yeah, Tony. That's going to be a series, I think, a long one, but that's a good game one win. Jimmy Butler.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're bumped by playoff basketball tomorrow, knuckleheads, but we will see you on Friday. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Ray Necci, one time only, baby, one time.